In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Share with us something before we get to the word. Lord, in greater dimensions, let my spirit, my soul, and my body host your glory. Lift your voice and pray. In greater dimensions, let my spirit pray. In higher dimensions, let my spirit, let my soul, oh God, let my body be a host of your power, a host of your glory. Shabalakata parakatosadatana. In greater dimensions, let my spirit host your glory. Let my spirit, not just to talk about it, not just to preach about it, in greater dimensions, let my spirit, let my soul, let my body host your glory. Are there people of prayer in this place? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just the strings. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 12. I want to pray for you before we get to the word tonight. Hosea chapter 12. While I sat there, the Lord just put something in my spirit. Verse 13. Hosea chapter 12. Please. Hosea 12. Just be sensitive to what I'm doing. I'm about to pray for you. Hosea chapter 12. It says, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel. That prophet was his hand. He used the prophet like you use a fetcher to draw water. And by a fetcher, You drew water. You are the one who drew the water, but the fetcher carried the water. And by a fetcher, you drew water out of a well. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, the place of slavery, the place where you don't have rights. Are we together? It says again, and by the same prophet, the Lord didn't just bring them out of Egypt. It says, and by the same prophet, they were preserved. Do you know why? Because when you come out of Egypt, Egyptians will still pursue you. It's not enough to come out. There must be a system that preserves you. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And knowing that the Egyptians will still come, seeking after them to make sure their testimonies only last 1 month, 2 months, and then they are taken again to slavery. Pharaoh said, what mistake did I make? What happened to me that I let these people go? And then the Bible says, by the same prophet was he, Israel, preserved. Listen, let me tell you this. We're going to sit down. A man of God went to meet Bishop Oyedepo. He was going to get into ministry. And he said, Daddy, sir, what advice would you give me as a young minister now that I'm going to ministry? And he thought Bishop Oyedepo would tell him, be prayerful, make sure you fast, make sure you teach the word in season. Bishop Oyedepo looked at him passionately, like a father would look at a son, and spoke to him in Yoruba and said, never fight alone. That's my advice. Never fight. The first rule, never fight alone. David, you are going to fight. Who is with you? Whose son are you? From which family do you come from? What covenant is assisting you? He said, told him, never fight alone. Never fight alone. Let me tell you this. Do you know the reason why many people remain in the same situation for a long time? They have done everything physical, but there is no prophetic push in their lives. They stay like that. They labor foolishly. They are skilled. I have seen gifted people. I have seen job applicants. I have seen all kinds of people. This system, this kingdom you see, is a spiritual kingdom. I pray that God will help you understand this fast enough, that in this kingdom, everything starts spiritually. When you spiritualize your mentality, you have set yourself in order for a life of victory. Nothing ever happens in this life just by the arm of flesh. It's a waste of time. The arm of flesh is only relevant when there is a backing. Satan never attacks until he vets that the power to defeat you is higher than the force backing you. When Satan comes to you, he doesn't look at you. He looks if there is any force backing you. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? So many believers that you are in church, that you are coming every week, that you are a worker, it doesn't justify that you have received this ministry. I know what this thing has done in my life. This truth you see. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. It's amazing how many people remain in difficulties when there is a route to cheap victory. The kingdom of God operates systemically. If you don't know how these things happen, you can labor and labor and labor and labor and labor and create a theology out of your pain that this dimension is not possible, and believe that any other person walking in that dimension must be cutting corners spiritually somewhere. No. It told Cain, it says, if you offer it, paraphrasing, according to pattern, will it not be accepted? The problem was never because you were Cain. You refused to do it accordingly. Are we together? I was hearing the testimonies of these people here, and I just sat down. And in my mind, I'm saying, how many other people need the same thing but don't know how to receive it?
There are people who are not very wise. There are people who are not very smart. Honestly, there are people who are not very connected. But among the many principles they've painfully adhered to is the foolishness of believing the prophetic word of the Lord. And they have watched their lives enter dimensions. And there are many of us who have come with our philosophies and exaggeration of intellectualism. We have stretched everything we know from border to border, and all that is left in our lives today is shame. Shame that vetoes everything, your studies, whatever. There is a way out, brothers and sisters. There is a more excellent way. God brings us here because he loves us and because he wants to help us. Don't allow the patterns of failure to be too much in your life. Plenty people have failed for you already. Why must you go through all of this again? And by a prophet, not by a man, not by a preacher, not by an orator, not by a Bible reader. Listen carefully. Not by one who oil was on his head, like just pouring oil, and by a prophet. How you know he is a prophet is when you are truly delivered. Anybody can say, go out. The results justify the office. The results justify the mantle. Because every office God institutes on earth, there is a prototype of it in heaven. Are we together now? So when you speak here on earth, the same way that throne, that system of governance allocated to your grace to validate that he truly called you in that dimension, ministers to the people. And there are angels that signify anointings. Listen carefully. Don't just be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit alone. He's not the only spiritual force at work. There are angels, listen carefully, that validate anointings. There is a kind of anointing you carry and certain angels start following you. There is a kind of mantle. A mantle is not an anointing. There is a kind of mantle you carry that certain angels come. Listen, there is an office you occupy that necessitates the operation of certain, not just angels. Angels are not the only beings that assist men in heaven. There are many. We only just know angels as we call them. They are all messengers, but they don't do the same thing. The revelation of Jesus, which he gave unto his servant John, he sent it and signified it by his angel, not an angel. His angel, an angel connected to that dimension. So you are calling to the healing ministry. If it is true you are called, there are a kind of angels that should walk. So when the word of God, because they confirm the word of his messengers, when that word is released at the authorization of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the master governor of every spiritual operation. So even when the bride speaks, they watch on the Spirit for permission. When the Spirit says, let it be done. Let me tell you, the same way the Bible says the Spirit came to resurrect Jesus from the dead. But we see the dynamics. At the instance of the Spirit, an angel came, rolled away the stone, sat on it. Holy Spirit, you can come. He rolled away the stone. The Holy Spirit does not just walk maybe the way some of us think. There are real angels. So when you come for koinonia, it's not just enough. It's not only seat you have come to see. The human beings you see are a very minute fraction of the hosts of heaven. Listen, a church is not a church because of people. A church is a church because there must be an access point from that church to the gates of heaven. Jacob, the first mention of the word house of God, Genesis 28. Jacob came, it was a stone. And a background, no chairs, no fasting, no prayer, no nothing. And Jacob got up, he saw angels ascending. That means if angels are not ascending and descending, that is not the house of God. He said, this is the gate of heaven. So a church is not a church just because there's a man standing and there are people sitting. There must be an access point from that location to access heaven and to release realities to people. Are we together? Mm. every challenge in your life is relative to the grace, the mantle, and the office that addresses it. Every challenge, relative. The same way you can meet a doctor and be rambling and say, "Doctor, sir, something is wrong," and he just laughs and just prescribes A, B, C. And within days, he has been trained to trivialize your challenge. Don't allow your situation make you believe that just because it is insurmountable to you, it means it's so for everybody. That's pride, though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you have tried to access favor, that you have tried to access dimensions in the spirit to see an unusual dimension of the gift of the spirit work in you. That bankruptcy is not generic. It's only personalized to you, which is an expression of your limitation in understanding the ways of God. Are we together? I want to pray for you. You don't, it's not by kneeling down and all, it's just by receiving. We're going to get to the word. But I just felt in my spirit, the Lord was impressing while I sat back there to just speak a word. So that certain challenges, you have done your best, you are sincere. I know that we are rising in faith, God is helping us. But the truth is that many of us at this level, you have done everything to be done physically. You need that prophetic push. I know that I speak over your life all the time, but remember, I'm prophesying as I am commanded. I can prophesy as I wish. God will still honor it. But when he commands, then be ready for dry bones to become an army. Are we together? Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare. Father, your word declares, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet were they preserved. Father, I stretch my hands. Let it be an extension of the hand that brings breakthrough, that brings deliverance. And I'm prophesying to someone who is in a pit right now that there is no human way you should come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, everywhere across this auditorium, if there is anyone in an impossible situation, I bring you out now in the name of Jesus. I send an anointing into that pit where you are, and I declare that by a mystery, in the name of Jesus, let the axe head that has sunk into the water, I command that axe head to float now. I command that axe head to float now. I decree and declare, there are people here, the pace that you are moving in life will never allow you to serve God in truth. The pace is too slow to have time for God, and it's a strategy by the devil, because provided he keeps your mind on tea and bread, provided he keeps your mind on these things, you will never have the time to focus on the things that matter. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says the hand of God came upon Elijah, and Elijah ran on barefoot and overtook the chariots of Ahab down to Jezreel. In Jesus' name, I supply speed to your destiny. I command supernatural speed. Speed to your destiny. Speed to your destiny. Speed to your destiny. Hallelujah. We are praying. Paul spoke and I said, once and again, I desire to come to you. He said, but Satan hindered us. But Satan, I desire to come to you. That's your breakthrough speaking. That's your lifting speaking. I have desire to come, but Satan hindered us. I have desire, just like you prayed since last year, you were calling me out. I desire to come, but Satan hindered us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, any dimension in the spirit or any allocation from the spirit that was designed by the ordinance of God to be captured in your destiny by now, and by witchcraft or whatever manipulation, you have not entered into it. Shekatos kabatiada. I command the embargo that stands between you, the embargo, whether spiritual, whether human, in the name of Jesus, I smash it out of your way now. I smash it out of your way now. want to pray for you. There are many of you, your helpers are not even aware. The devil has made sure that every door that will connect you to them has been closed. Every door. Nobody willing to help you. You suffer alone, you pray alone, you fast alone, you labor alone. Let me tell you this. Even if you have money, it doesn't guarantee that you have favor. Favor is not all about money. In fact, money is less than one tenth of the mysteries of favor. Favor is the ability for men to rise up and come to your aid, not just once, but to remain so as a reality. You can never enter your rest when you are doing everything alone. Who can rise up for you when adversity speaks? Who can rise up for you at the gates where you are not there? No one advocating for your interest. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands. By the grace and the anointing of the Spirit, I decree and declare, I push you by prophecy into the irrefutable ministry of destiny helpers. I push you by prophecy, receive of their ministry. I prophesy favor over your life. I prophesy favor over your life. Hallelujah. Two more prayers and then we'll sit down. I want to pray for your finances and then I'll round up with your spiritual life. Listen, let me tell you this. You will never access finances the way many of us are approaching it. That's not the way it works. Everything is first spiritual. It's not by doing business. It's not by getting a job. Doing business and getting a job is simply a system of collecting your spiritual allocation. The Bible says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, but they reside in heavenly places in Christ. You don't need it there. The word must be made manifest. It must be made flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to pray for us. Listen, let me tell you. By the grace of God, we're a people that God has helped. And by the grace of God, we're a people who God has proven through this ministry that if God helps you financially, you can have the time to serve Him. This demonic distraction that comes by looking for what to eat, what to wear, that stops us from praying, that brings us into yokes that are uncalled for because our daily bread must be met, that distracts us. There is no time to serve God. 7 days a week, all you are doing is looking for money. You get up in the morning, money. To sleep in the night, money. The Holy Ghost is talking, the thoughts of money chokes His voice. Let me pray for you. The Bible says, the prophet said, by this time tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, I want to pray. Don't be foolish. You have heard the testimonies that happen. Money has a spirit. That note you see is an obedient servant. There is a spirit that controls resources. It doesn't come just like that. The spirit that the devil put in place to control financial resources is called Mammon. And you never, never can access Mammon without bowing to Satan. So if you want to get resources the world's way, get ready to compromise your faith, your life, your integrity, your everything for it. But there is another system in the kingdom. Are we together now? It says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He, it is in His office to give you the ability, the power to prosper. A lot of people have thought that the power to prosper is concepts, ideas, insight. I believe that, but that's just the physical dimension. The power to prosper is an anointing. There is an exact anointing whose assignment is to call forth resources. The same way Noah sat there and the animals started coming on their own, that's the power to prosper. It calls forth people, it calls forth resources, it calls forth opportunities. You don't just use your mouth to call it. When that grace is on you, it's magnetic. It is true. Has nothing to do with ministry. Has nothing to do with a job. A job, be business and every financial vehicle only supplies the value chain for its sustainability, but is originated from the Spirit. Are we together? I want to pray over our finances. If you don't need it, that's all right. No, I want to believe not everybody needs it, but truly there are people here. Do you know, let me tell you this. It's very, very, I believe that it bleeds the heart of God when we come for a meeting like this, where the Spirit of God wants to build our spirit, wants to help us to know Him. And all that is in our mind is waiting for when money prophecy will come. Wait, it's a terrible thing. You will never grow that way. Nobody grows spiritually talking about money all the time. It's an issue that by the Spirit of God, you should access, be done away with, and then you can focus. If you don't believe you can solve money issues to know this is solved and turn and face God, then there's no point receiving this prayer. There is. I'm not saying you should not get your job. I'm not saying you should not do your business. I train, I teach people to be valuable. But let me tell you this. It's a waste if you keep this fan and it's not connected to electricity. The fan has potentials. This mic, although you don't see a wire, there is still a technology that ultimately connects it to a generator. That you cannot see it does not mean it's not there. Off the generator, I don't have to collect the mic from you. I just disconnect it from the generator and let you keep switching off and on. You are doing the right thing. It should work. But because it's not connected to something, something that was supposed to work doesn't work again. Are you seeing now? So you are doing what you are doing. This is actually how to on the mic and off it. You are correct. But because the generator is disconnected from the mic, you do the right thing, it still doesn't work. It is the life of God. It is that connection that activates whatever you do. When this anointing is on you, it doesn't really matter what you do. Whatsoever He doeth, whatsoever He doeth, prospers. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I pray for you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you have helped me. I have seen your mercy and I've seen your grace. You have helped this ministry. We have seen your mercy. Father, I pray that the same mercy and the same grace, even in the area of finances, I cry unto you right now. Let that grace, let that unction come upon someone now. Let that unction come upon someone now. Let that unction come upon someone whose family has never believed they can rise. Lord, may that grace be a supernatural bailout system for a family that is in need of your help right now. May this anointing come upon your life and roll away shame. In the name of Jesus. By this anointing, I declare that whatever it is you are involved in, I don't care whether it has prospered or not, I command it, I instruct it to work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, I pray for your spiritual life. Listen, in all your growth, if you don't grow spiritually, you are not growing. You can have all the money in the world like I just prayed for you. Listen carefully. You can have all the human connections, but if you lose sync with what God is doing and you lose touch with spiritual realities, then you will not last. The value for every aspect of your life is that although these things are there, your spirit is still alive unto God. You are growing in an ever-increasing dimension, understanding not just what God wrote in the Bible, but His program for the nations for now. If you lose touch with this present truth, God's system of relevance, then no matter what else you have, you are irrelevant. You will watch yourself being edged out of the move of God. Therefore, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Every distraction over your spirit, man, I curse it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and I declare, whatever has blocked the portals of the spirit from granting you access to the deep and the current speakings of the Spirit. The deep and the current speakings. The deep and the current speakings. Revelatory dimensions that communicate this present truth. I command those portals to be opened now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever has closed and frustrated your appetite for prayer, the ability to not just shouting up and down, staying with God, staying until your spirit man is energized, I declare that tonight, may you be brought to a new dimension of prayer fire. Whatever has made you comfortable with where you are spiritually, that you don't even see the need to press again, in the name of Jesus, may tonight's teaching plant a strange hunger in your spirit. Every door spiritually that you are walking in that my God did not open, I don't care what dimension you are facing, if his word was opened by Satan to distract you, I shut that door now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. Lord, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. I welcome everyone tonight in the name of Jesus. It's my joy to bring us the word every time. The Bible declares that we should be instant in season. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I'll be teaching on something along the lines of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Helping us to understand certain realities as far as kingdom legislation is concerned. One of my greatest prayer for us is that we are trained and equipped not just to see miracles. This is a ministry that God has blessed with grace for miracles, signs, and wonders. But I am passionate about inculcating and transferring spiritual understanding in believers. You can know the efficiency of a man of God by the quality of the useful spiritual information. Listen carefully. Not just random spiritual information. The quality of the useful spiritual information that is transferred to the average member. Not the ministers, not the leaders. Their level of spiritual excellence can be for obvious reasons. But that when you handpick anyone at random and discuss with the person over basic spiritual truths, foundational doctrines in the kingdom, and then especially doctrines that relate to our reigning and our victory, you should be able to have an intelligent conversation with such a person. That is proof that the man of God and that ministry is careful enough. I am passionate about teaching the word of God. Are we together now? Because it is in the teaching of the word of God that understanding comes. And when understanding comes, then the grace, the fortitude to release your faith through obedience is released upon you. So please, I want you to pay attention. Especially for many of us who just come. I know some of us have problems and challenges, but don't forget that Koinonia primarily is a place of encounter and is a place of growth, spiritual growth. Much more than a place of receiving the miraculous, much more than a place of signs and wonders. This place will always remain the place of signs and wonders. But much more than that, this is Bethel, the place of bread, where the hallowed bread of the Spirit is open and you receive. But much more than receiving, that there is an impartation. So when you come, while you are sitting, you see that there is an anointing working in you. As the word of God is taught, there is an anointing. You are not only hearing. Are we together now? You are not. If all you are doing is hearing, then this is a lecture. Maybe spiritual in context, but it's a lecture. What makes it the ministration of the Spirit is the presence of the anointing. The Bible calls us able ministers, and it says that we are ministers after the Spirit. No matter how articulate and how deeply spiritual I am, if this anointing, this presence factor is not there, then it's a total waste of time. Are we together? So I'm saying this so that we must be passionate about growth, young and old. We come from different spiritual backgrounds, and we aspire for a similar spiritual destiny. But in the interim, our hearts must be open to educate our minds spiritually. It's terrible to be ignorant as a spiritual person. You don't need to know everything, but there are foundational doctrines of the kingdom that you have to know. Everyone, personally, not just to have a tape that talks about it, not just to have a book that talks about it, not just to attend a ministry or to submit to a man or an anointing that knows it. It is a revelation that must be inculcated as part of your understanding. Are you getting blessed now? It's very, very important. Your edge in life, much more than the coming of the anointing, is the awareness and the understanding of the systems of the kingdom, how it works. When you call someone a master, why is he a master? Every time I want to access my internet banking platform, GTB is one of my banks, and I see them marketing something about a food expo that will be done, and I see master chefs, 5 or 6 of them, who will be holding master classes. All of them are called master chefs. I had the opportunity to watch 2 of those people, and I saw the way they demystified cooking. They showed that cooking is scientific. You can predict what will become in a notable level of accuracy. That's called a master. A master is a master at foundations. When you say you are a master, that means the foundations of a system are things that you have at your fingertips. You are a master driver. There is nothing another driver does not necessarily know. It's just that you are a master at that foundation. You can turn a car sideways and still be driving it. Now that's mastery. The same tools that someone uses is what you use, but with a level of competence that produces a result. Everything you will need for victory is accessible to everyone, but how we engage it is where the difference is. So I not only want us to be sound in the word, to be able to quote scriptures, blood of Jesus, fire of the Holy Ghost. There are very ignorant things that believers do that is a pain to the heart of the Father. We should be able to grow spiritually in understanding, to be able to know what to do, what to engage, how to live in this kingdom. You see, the goal of this teaching, you're coming every week, is not just to prove that a man is called of God. There is a system of spiritual mentorship. Are we together? Your life should become something exact with time. You should begin to have an appreciation of the ways of God, that a time can come you are well equipped to be able to serve the purposes of the kingdom without fear, because you know what should happen. And if and when what you want is not what happens, there is a system you are aware of that can compel things to come to the obedience of Christ. If you're with me, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Here's what it says. But ye are a chosen generation. Now, this is a very interesting word, because there were many generations. Many generations, in fact, many dispensations. The word generation there does not necessarily mean just an age range. You know, physically we have our biological and physical definition of a generation. A particular age range, for some 0 to 15, some 0 to 30, make up a generation. That's not what God is talking about here. The word generation there is the word race of people within a particular context of civilization. It said that there you are a chosen generation. What does that mean? There are other dispensations, other races of people, but your race, your spiritual generation, has been particularly chosen. So you are a chosen generation. And this is where I want us to dwell. You are a royal priesthood. It would have been all right to say you are a priesthood, you are priests, but it says you are also royalty. You are a royal priesthood. Then it says, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should, with all these things, the being chosen, the priesthood, the royalty, the peculiarity, all of that is to enable you show forth the praises. Praises, the word doxazo, the flaunting of a man's glory, making his glory known. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you into his light. Hold on. Let me help you understand this. What makes you chosen? What makes you royal? What makes you a priesthood? What makes you peculiar is the marvelous light you entered. Are you getting the whole thing now? All of that happened because you entered his, he called you into his marvelous light. Whoever enters that marvelous light is fortunate, is blessed. The Bible tells us that some of these prophets saw these things. They sought to walk in these dimensions. They kept searching for what manner of times the Spirit had revealed. They knew that there would come a dispensation of men and women who will be granted archives to these things. In fact, some of these prophets prophesied it, but they were not given insight to understand what they prophesied. They just spoke it and left it there. But the Bible says, you are fortunate in that you can not just enter his light, but his marvelous light, the light, access to his mysteries. He called you out of ignorance, darkness. The same expression that is used in Genesis chapter 1. Darkness, void. It's a Hebrew word, tohu wa bohu. Darkness, ignorance, confusion, lack of light, lack of hope, depression. The same expression. He called you out of darkness. Notice, he didn't say he called you out of sin. Notice, he didn't say he called you out of witchcraft. Notice, he didn't say he called you out of the devil. The major reason why Satan, sin, the devil, whatever it is, oppressed people was the presence of darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So it's not like Satan was so powerful. They are called rulers of darkness. Every time there is darkness, their dominion kicks in. And he called you. So how does God make people peculiar? By introducing them to his marvelous light. The Bible says, God who had commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It says he had shined in our heart to reveal to us the glory of Jesus, the glory of the knowledge of God as seen on the face of Jesus Christ. The marvelous light. That means, listen carefully, that means although prophetically you belong to a race that the Bible calls a peculiar people and a royal priesthood, if you do not accept that, that marvelous light is not any light. That marvelous light is a spiritual allocation of knowledge that has been given to a dispensation. This marvelous light is exact. It's not just that God brought you into any light. No. The light of God is in levels. There are certain lights he made to signify seasons, to signify times. Not just the stars in the sky, spiritually. You would read in the Bible every time prophets would interact with God, sometimes he would tell them, seal it. You have seen this, but just close it and keep it. In other words, it's not for this race of people. How David tried. David wanted to access the realities of the Messiah. David wanted to see redemption. He pressed for it, pressed for it. He saw glimpses of it, but could not put it together. Isaiah saw the virgin birth. Isaiah saw God becoming man. They all saw pieces of it, but nobody, because there is an allocation of spiritual knowledge. There is a body of knowledge that is given to a dispensation of people. And our generation is very fortunate. We are not only fortunate because we are spiritual people. We are not fortunate because we are better than Smith Wigglesworth. Listen carefully. We are not fortunate because we are better than all these saints the Puritans and the rest, we are fortunate because God, by his election of grace, not that we ask for it, by his predeterminate counsel, has chosen to bring us into a body of knowledge, a body of knowledge that can separate us in experience. Even those who saw these verses only read about it. Many of them never walked in the experience. Let me tell you this. There are things written in the Bible that are not for everybody. There are things written in the Bible that sometimes are for an individual, sometimes are for a race, and those individuals, not everything written in the Bible was for people of old. There are things written in our generation. There are things written about you. One day you will carry your Bible and know, this is me. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says Jesus stood up for to read, and it was given to him, the messianic prophecy. Remember, Isaiah wrote this hundreds of years before Jesus, and Jesus was not the first person to read it. They were talking about a man, but who was that man? Every prophet who had access tried, they would check against the reigning prophet and say, no, this does not fit. John the Baptist, it almost fits, but it can't be John. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and opens up the prophecy of Isaiah and begins to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anybody can appreciate it prophetically, but there is an exact person it was written for. Are we together? Now look up. I'm teaching you something. If you read the Bible as a book that spoke to someone but just applicable to you, you are lying. There are things written in the Bible that have not been fulfilled by anybody outside our race. A day will come, you will look at it and know that this word was for our generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Give me Hebrews chapter 11, the last verse. Let me show you one of those things. And then we'll come back to this. Hebrews chapter 11. Read. Let's start from verse 37 and then we'll go to 40. Give us from verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, beat destitute, afflicted, tormented. 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, talking about the archives of faith, the patriarchs of faith. 39. He said, all these, who are the these? All the guys that were part of those who were recorded. I hope you know they never had the opportunity to read the Bible, because we are now reading about them. So by the time we were writing about them, there was just the some of the Psalms and the Torah and all of that. The Bible says they received not the promise. There was still an expectation in the heart of God, and they all did not receive it. 40. He said, God having provided what? Some better things for us. Who are the us? The readers, not the actors. If you never got to read this, you were not in that generation. It is for those who will read this. It says, so that they without us, as general as they were without us, there are things written here that no generation has found. It will take men of audacity. Many of us believe that everything that was written in the Bible has happened. It's just the prophetic application. No, no. One day, you will open something and see koinonia right there. Not as a word. You will see a chapter of the Bible talking about exactly what is happening now. Many of you will, if I told you that Isaiah prophesied about you, Pastor Alpha, as a person, you may say yes prophetically, until the Spirit, when you are called into this marvelous light. Listen, he never said called into light, because God made many lights and every generation partook of a dimension of light. But there is a marvelous light, the same way he made two great lights. All the prophets had dimensions of God, and based on what they knew, that was all about God in their generation, until another prophet came and another generation came with another dimension of God. And the Bible says here that so that they without us, meaning there is something about koinonia that must be added to the Bible in heaven. Then when you now read the saints plus the archives of koinonia, it produces perfection. Let me just allow you to settle down and then we'll take it again. Listen, I hope you know there is a book in heaven where things are recorded. I hope you know that when Paul was having his little teaching and Peter, the plan was not for that to be captured in the Bible. They were living. Is that true? Imagine in your mind, 300 years from now, let's assume that Christ chooses to tarry. None of us here, I believe, should be alive. There's no reason why I should be on earth then. I will be alive, but not on earth. Are we together now? Now, imagine that a young boy of 13 years or 15 years then is now reading that in 2018, there was a service. That service was held by somebody. There was a worshiper called Sam. He's reading a story. We are not reading it because we're the actors. But the Bible says, even those who are the readers, there is a part for them in prophecy here to fulfill. So that when you now combine both the actors and our generation, it will create that perfection. There is still a desire in the heart of God, in spite of what Paul has done, in spite of what all of them have done, there is still a desire in the heart of God that there is a light, there is a body of the revelation of God allocated for a generation. None of their generation taught people to live in balance. One of the problems with every other generation until our own is that there was a traceable imbalance. Are we together? If there were prophets, they had problems. Even during God's generals, most of them found God, but there was a level of light that was not given. Imbalance here and there. So Jesus found where it was written about him. About him. Literally. Not about somebody that he applied to his life. He was the one they were talking about. I pray for you, that one day you will open the Bible and see something, and God will tell you, son, I know you may not believe it, but this verse was not written to a prophet that you should receive by faith. This one, when I said a man I will raise in the eyes of prophecy, anybody can apply it by faith, but that man was you. That the Bible centrally talks about Christ, but there are auxiliary revelations about individuals. The central message of the scripture is Christ, but it's not only Christ. Christ is the major doctrine, perfect theology. The entire focus of the Bible is Christ, but not Christ alone, his bride. He found where it was written about him. That a time will come, a generation will prosper, and that I am sending you. And you will think he was talking of Joseph until one day you read, and God will tell you it is this generation, and you are that person. Listen, notice every time God speaks about people, he never calls their name. Everybody has a spiritual name. There is a name in the realm of the spirit that men are identified with. Listen. Did you ever see the word Jesus? He said, a virgin shall conceive. Let me tell you how prophecy works. And give birth to a son, and you shall call that son. Did you ever hear them call Jesus Emmanuel? Please talk to me. But did the prophet lie? It's God's system. So you will not find a Jimmy, but you will find a spiritual name that you know, this is me. It was written. It will be difficult for you to receive because you say, out of the 6 point, how many billion people? No. Read the Bible. The captains of industry today were written. Bill Gates is in the Bible. All these guys, they were in the Bible. It's not just that they were in the Bible. The prophet saw them. You will not find Bill, but you will find him there. This koinonia you see, this meeting you see, is in your Bible here. That you have read Bible cover to cover. I'm not talking of something that, okay, God sent Jeremiah. Oh God, like you sent Jeremiah, you sent me. It's not true. You see, now the surprise, I've not even gotten to my message tonight. The surprising part is that demons know. They are not in ignorance. Why do you think spirits pursue certain individuals? No, they, of course, Satan hates everybody, but there are certain individuals he will mark them, kill for them, do everything around them. Because you may not know that there is something written, that there is a part you have to play. Imagine when I was born, I'm sure my mother would just believe that she gave birth to whatever it is. You know, I didn't take breast milk. God punished the devil. The devil wanted to kill me from birth. I was fed on lactogen because he wanted to destroy me. My mother just felt she was carrying a baby. But if only she opened and saw that a woman will conceive. This is not Mary. Not Mary. That a prophet one day was scanning to a generation and saw. They saw the generation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With stammering lips and another tongue will they praise. They left it as a code. Every prophecy about you in the Bible is a code. It must be opened. Let me tell you what happens. I don't know why. Do you know Holy Spirit? Well, you are the Lord of this teaching tonight. I don't know what is taking me to this dimension. But let me tell you three things that happens when the code of your destiny is open from scripture. One, God changes your name. Listen. Let me tell you the concept of the change of name. Sometimes it can be physical, but more than that. Notice, there was nobody whose prophetic word opened and a name was not given to him. Now, read your Bible. Cephas, Saul, Paul, Abraham. Sarai, Sarah. Read your Bible. You see there. Thou art Peter. It didn't say your name is Peter. Peter, you have found it. You have found it. They have been calling you Cephas, but something opened your... You are Peter. Found it. You found it. You know, sometimes when I share these things in my spirit, I want to be as simple as possible. One of my goals as a man of God is not to bamboozle you with complication. My goal is to communicate understanding, because there are all kinds of people. But sometimes, you see, it's very difficult to teach these things, because you may never know. If God appears to you now, he will not call you by your father's name. He will call you by your name in the spirit. You will hear it. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You will never hear God say, "Hey, Jimmy." No, no, no. A name is a code. When you use an ATM, there are people who use machines. Let me tell you, if this thing does not happen to you, there are dimensions of prophecy about your life that will never happen. That's why people erroneously just go and carry a name after baptism. Oh, your name is, what's your name? Tosin. Just, oh, my name is Victory too. And you know, wonderful, but you just call your name a carnal name. You were strolling to the swimming pool and they said, make sure you have a name. What name do we put there? Just say John or James. And you find out, no, there was a man sent from God, but the name was given. I'm sure that the father would have called him something, but the angel said, no. Something had been concluded from heaven. The name that opens this man's destiny is called John. He said, no. He shut his mouth until he revealed to the wife. So when you see certain things, you will just see that God says, a woman shall arise in a generation and she shall be called a helper. You may not know what it means. You will start thinking, it's not, it may be you, but you never know you are the one. Until the season comes, when you enter this marvelous light, the body of knowledge allocated for whoever should walk in it, then you'll find out that you open it, and all of a sudden, grace just opens you up. The name Joshua was not given to me by my father. The name Joshua was given to me by God. My biological father and mother did not call me Joshua. Our ignorance in the spirit has costed us a lot of things. You shall call him Emmanuel. Jesus comes. I thought somebody would say, Oga, make sure you don't miss out. Your name is Emmanuel. No. When the angel now comes, that Emmanuel was a code. The same angel said, you shall call him Jesus. When the man, blind Bartimaeus, when he saw him, he cried, thou son of David. Is the son of David Jesus? Who is the son of David? Son of David is Solomon. So was the man not calling Solomon? Solomon, help me. He said, no. That was a wise man. The son of David is Solomon. Why didn't Jesus say, you are lying? Solomon has gone to be with the Lord. No. Thou son of David, the one who sits on the throne spiritually. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are things written in this Bible. I searched the Bible to find out the program of God, but I searched the Bible too, looking. Lord, it can't just be koinonia. This is not just Zaria. There is something prophetic. Show me, where is it? Where is it? It's not just about this. Show me. Many of you just sit down and find a nice scripture. You shall build houses, you shall repair the former desolations. Amen. Of course, prophetically it's applied to you. But let me tell you, there is something with your name on it that you can get up and know that this is my meat to do and finish what was written. I don't know if it's so for everybody, but there are people. One of the things that happens to men when they truly encounter God is that something happens to their name. What is your name? Not what do you want? Jacob, the problem with you has to do with your name. What is your name? Have you been given a name from the Spirit? And he said, no, my name is Jacob. See, I don't care whether his name was goodness. The name would still have been changed. It's not because he's a cheat and a supplanter. No. Selman means the way to love. Is that not a nice name? Who would not want to give a child a nice name like that? God said, what are you talking about? Let's talk about destiny. Destiny. You carry the name, you carry the office, you carry the crown, you carry the scepter. Every man of God that has ever prophesied to me that didn't know my name never called me my biological name. Never. Not once. I remember one time I met a dear man of God. He's now a dear friend somewhere. And he was speaking and he looked at me. In fact, not even... I remember a time, I think we were going to... Was it Benin Republic? I think. I can't remember now. Benin Republic for a program. And we were there. You know all these guys that use divination that can stand in the market and start prophesying to you. Remember? They were trying to clear our passport at customs and all of that. And then I stood close and he looked at me and said, Joshua, said, you see this guy? He has seen something in the spirit. Read your Bible. Jesus was the man. Because there was no power in that name. No. There was no power in that name, Jesus. No. You call him Jesus, say, how are you? There's food for you. So you will be surprised that many of you have been having dreams. And in those dreams, certain names are called you by spiritual forces. They call you names. And you think maybe they are talking about Bible actors somewhere. Why are you God? Is it that you don't know my name? I will never forget one time I was having a dream, very prophetic dream. I think I wrote it. I can't remember. I can't even pronounce it well. It was a name that was called, and it was an angel of the Lord who was calling God a name. I checked the Bible. I didn't find that name anywhere, but it was a name like tongues, a long name. What is this? I thought it was Greek. Let me tell you, I studied the Bible very, very well. I'm not a lazy person. I checked it, check lexicon, check everything. I just saw some nonsense started coming out, part rubbish, some of these zodiac things. I said, no. I checked it very well. I said, but what is this name? Very long name that was called. If someone introduces that name now, that person is going to be in trouble. What name? Which one? He is called what? What name? No. But the Bible says there is a marvelous light allocated for a generation. We thank God for what they did. The goal of studying the Bible is not just to stop there. The goal of studying the Bible is to understand God's character and by His Spirit continue. What we are living now is being recorded in heaven. It will be read, and there are people who will learn from it. It's not just because there is no spiritual archaeology, right? No. In the heavens, one day you will read. There are gifts of the Spirit you see operate here. You may not find them exactly. You can just relate them with one that is close to them. I told you the gifts of the Spirit are not nine. They are as unlimited as the Spirit Himself. Theologically and for the purpose of spiritual administration, we focus there. But there are not nine gifts of the Spirit. There are dimensions that the evil in this day requires. The evil in the then day did not require some of these dimensions, so they were sealed and left for our generation. Are we together? The level of deception in our generation is too high. There are other gifts that must be opened. People go for war and they hide different sets of weapons based on the attack. There are times that when the aggression gets bad, all nations of the world have certain weapons that no other nation has seen. Some are hiding it in the sea. Some are hiding it somewhere. When the going gets tough, then they will bring out those arsenals. That's how it is spiritually. Why am I saying this to us? Listen carefully. You will find yourself walking in very deep spiritual dimensions that if you are not guided, you may think it is occult or it is witchcraft, and you will throw away the dealings of the Spirit just because it is strange. Now, you must be guided. Don't get me wrong. Don't dabble into all kinds of spiritual things and destroy yourself. But many people have just camped around the stories of the past. Wonderful. But brothers and sisters, there is what God is doing. And the Bible says that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hold on. Who was saying this? Who was saying this? Do you know who was saying this? This was Peter the apostle saying, but ye, who was he talking to? That means he was not there. But you, read it now. Did you learn it? It didn't say, but we, but you, the people I'm talking to, you are a chosen generation. I'm not in your generation. Revelations, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Revelation chapter 5. Please sit down. Revelation chapter 5. Is God helping us tonight? See, sometimes God just disorganizes me like this. Revelation chapter 5. Let me show you something. Let's read from verse 8. From verse 8 to 10. Now, look at this. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So, the four living creatures, 24 elders. Are we together? The Bible says they fell down before who? The Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, for thou was slain and had redeemed the word us. There is an error. The 24 elders and the four living creatures are not part of the redeemed. The word there is redeem them unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, talking about inhabitants on the earth, out of every tongue and people and nation, verse 10, and has made them, not us, you see the mistake again in translation, and has made them unto our God kings and priests, and they shall reign. The 24 elders don't reign on earth. Come on now, talk to me. The four living creatures don't reign on earth. They are in the throne room. They minister to God. Translators messed up some of these things, and if you don't read by the Spirit, you will just gather all kinds of things. The Bible says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and the domain of our legislation is on earth, that we shall reign on earth. Now watch this. Imagine with me that one of the 24 elders was reading this thing. Of course, you would know it's not them. It can't be talking about them. And they'll be wondering what generation. Because they themselves don't know everything. Nobody in heaven knows everything except God. They see parts too. And so they'll be wondering, which generation is this going to be fulfilled in? And all of a sudden, a generation comes. Brothers and sisters, listen, let me tell you. There are things that will happen in our generation that have not happened before. They will not be error because they have been written. It is whatever was not prophesied and is done that is error. You see that? That it has not been done doesn't mean it has not been said. There are things that will happen. The coming of Jesus has not happened. Everyone who wrote it has gone to be with the Lord, and yet it has not happened. But we know, and nobody will argue that it will happen because it has been prophesied. So also, like the coming of Jesus, there are many other things that have been written. But they were written in coded forms. You have to be brought in. Permit me to use the word like occult. You must be ushered in. Like the Freemason call or the Illuminati. They can call you and say, look, we want you to become part of this brotherhood to give you access to certain things. God has said, I have kept this dimension for a generation. That means no matter how many times Abraham fasted, he never would have entered certain things. We are not entering it today just because we fasted more or we prayed more. There's a place for spiritual discipline, but that our generation has been chosen. Say chosen. That's the word. Chosen. It's an election of grace that God decided by his predeterminate counsel that in a dispensation there will be a people who will be opened other doors, and they will see these lights and have access to a dimension of God and reveal to a generation. This is what makes us royal priesthood, peculiar people, a holy nation called out, the same way God called Israel out and showed Israel something no other heathenistic nation could see. It was that light. It is being called into light that shows that you are peculiar. Are we together now? We have been called. I tell myself, I am so privileged to see and to know the things that I know. Sometimes I read the Bible and I'm not reading a storybook. In all honesty and without any sense of pride, I read and I say, but if I were not Apostle Joshua Selman, I would still say this guy, whoever they were talking about here, this guy must be Joshua Selman. Now some ignorant fellow will now come and start saying that this guy is claiming he's the Messiah. No, that's not what we're talking about. It is finding the scripture about your destiny that opens you up. You see, when you see a man walking in some results, there are forces, some dimensions of result. There are spiritual forces that back up this operation. They don't just happen just like that. You check your Bible, you will find Reinhard Bonnke there. You check your Bible, you will find Benny Hinn there. You check your Bible, you will find Bin Laden there. You check your Bible, you will find ISIS there. They are all coded. The people who did this thing found it. They found it. By divination, some of them were called into the inner courts of the spirit and were told, this is your destiny. You will be an agent of destruction. And he said, really? There are some presidents and governors now that have been ushered by extraterrestrial beings into the archives of the spirit. See your destiny. This is what you will carry. And from birth, they move them like that. Why do you think some of these royal families take time to choose a wife and a husband? You come and say you like them, they say go away. They go and bring out old books and check and call some people and say, no, the wife should come from so family. It was prophesied already that whoever will marry prince this or prince that must be from this family. They now start finding where that lineage went to and now check and say, ah, you are from this family, do you have a daughter? Yes, where is she? And the naive girl is sitting there, say congratulations. I say what? Say just come. She thinks she's going. No, she's something was written about her. Listen to what I'm teaching you. What I'm teaching you is a very deep mystery in the spirit, but it's true. Are we together? Lo, I come as it is written of me in the volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. To do thy will, it is written of me, Joshua Selman. All great things have I spoken of you, O Zion. Something is written. Something. You have been reading what is written about others and applying it by faith prophetically. Yes. But there must be something you will find written about you. That Ejimi, for this purpose I brought you. For this time. For this and that. And that day you stand and you are no longer reading the Bible. You are reading you. So it is true. That I will be a deliverer. So it is true. That one day this will happen. Jesus read that he was going to die. So when he saw death, he did not run away. It was part of his assignment. He knew. God will be so dull to allow major events happen on earth without capturing them here. No. No. A man causing global harvest for the kingdom, Reinhard Bonnke, and you believe that all he's doing was just an application of what Paul did? No, sir. No, sir. Let's have spiritual intelligence. Let me tell you this. Some of you, your being in Zaria now has nothing to do with your wish. It's prophecy. It was prophesied since. Whether you are aware or not, it's not the issue. This gentleman came from Accra, Ghana. He's been around. Until one day you will check the archives of prophecy, whether written in the Bible or revealed by the Spirit, and you will see that God said at this time so person would be here, because after such and such a time he will encounter an anointing and he will start something. So for that to happen, God made sure no other university gave you admission. You applied Ife, you applied everywhere, but if they gave you admission there, it would jeopardize prophecy. So you had to pay the price of 5 years so that you would be there. You see that? I would be the last person to believe I should be in Zaria by this time. What will I be doing here? For God's sake. But prophecy. Zaria, me, doing what? Habba. Prophecy. One day you will meet one old woman in Zaria somewhere who used to love God in the 80s. She will say, my son, come. Let me show you something God told me when I was 22. Behold, a young man will arise from this soil. You will see. That's what she will tell you. And say, God revealed to me that a time will come, a move of God will start in Zaria. I'm now 81. When I was 17, I said, Lord, when will it happen? And then all of a sudden, a young boy is moving around and the hand of God is trailing him. There are many of you seated here. Do you know why your life is unusual? Because this thing, a verse in scripture has been looking for you, and it will never stop until you are found. A verse in scripture. This Bible you see is a gateway, is a portal. It's not a magic book. It's not just about cramming scripture. There's something that has been written about you.
mighty in this place, mighty in this place, mighty in this place. You are mighty in this place, mighty in this place, mighty in this place. You are mighty in this place.
There are some of you, just one wrong marriage can make a generation perish because you will obstruct prophecy. Just one carelessness, leaving a region when you should not leave, alone will destroy your life. Listen to me. We're talking prophecy here. Let me suspend my teaching for tonight for next week, but let's just flow with what the Spirit is doing. Listen to me. You see, a spiritual man is not an ordinary man. A spiritual man is governed by many factors, the spirit, but also governed by the truth. Everything on earth is like a football playing. Everybody, there is something. If Ejimi does not do, a whole generation will perish. If God is merciful, then God will raise a replacement, but that replacement must arise. Otherwise, some things will not be done. There is something if Pastor Alpha does not do in Kogi State, that state like this as a territory may never enter certain dimensions. It's not just about looking for ministry. It's prophecy that you have found it. This is my contribution to the coming of Christ. This is what the prophet, when Isaiah was seeing many things, I was part of what he saw. This is it. This is it. Let me tell you this. Hold on. There are some of you ladies, your assignment on earth is to give birth. That's it. Not to preach. Your assignment is your womb. This womb you are seeing. Your assignment. There is somebody that has been prophesied that must come out through your womb. If it's another womb, something will be wrong. It must be your womb.
Mighty on earth. Mighty on your throne, mighty in my life, mighty in my life, mighty in my life, mighty in my life, mighty in my life.
Listen, I want you, listen carefully. I know that it's true that we say no man is indispensable. It is true. But let me tell you this. There are men who they are not aligning can cost a generation 30 extra years. Just one person. God will find another replacement, but it will never be the way it would have been. If I didn't answer the call of God upon my life, God's purposes will still be moved. But there are people born again today
who would never meet Christ, their children will never find God. There is a dimension, just like you. There is something. You are not just coming for, let me tell you this. If you ever find yourself in koinonia, that you came alone, you will need to see the spiritual forces you fought. This place is a place of birthing. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like a place of spiritual registration. You are answering present. They have been calling you. Where are you? John. John. And the Spirit of God says, come. And you come and say, present. I'm here. I'm here. Where did you come from? Akwa Ibom. Now come. There is an allocation for you. It may not look like it now. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it may not look like it. But believe me. Believe me. There is a place written for you. My dear sister, don't let marriage issue kill you. There is something here. That's why God is meticulous about you. A guy will come, God is saying yes to everybody, and God will tell the guy, get out of this place. And it's not like he hates him. There is prophecy. That womb is not your own, it's for a generation.
Mighty on your throne, mighty on your throne.
Listen, I want you to go back and trace the story of how you came to Zaria, and trace the story of how you got Koinonia message. It's a miracle. It has to be an angel. No. It has to be spiritual. When you find out, that's when you see that. So this is what was happening. So I am this important. Brothers and sisters, hear me. What happened was that there was a blast from heaven. And all those who must be relevant in God's program, not only through Koinonia, wherever you are, if that trumpet sounds, I tell you, you must come. Where it's not whether you want to. You can be doing your thing and God said, let's go. Let's go quickly. And let me build you. Sometimes you see, listen, God acts as if he doesn't pity you. No. He's looking at the generation that are dependent on your obedience. And he said, not even your tears will make me stop. Because a woman's destiny is tied to your revealing this dimension of God. Listen. Let me find somewhere. And I just feel, let's pray. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. I was actually going to talk about kings and priests. The concept of royal priesthood. We'll take that next week. But let me just take just one of the aspects. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. One of the primary roles of priesthood, the Bible says, is to offer. He says, ye also, as lively stones, listen carefully, are being built up into what? A spiritual house. The house of God, the gates of heaven, a connection to the heavens. You are being built. You are what? A holy priesthood. What is your assignment? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen, spiritual sacrifices are many things. The constraints that you must go through so that God will be birthed in a generation is a spiritual sacrifice. It takes only priesthood to make that happen. When I push you people to pray, to fast, you are being built. There is a sacrifice, like a woman is about to give birth. And you say, madam, eat well, be strong, because you will need to push. The Bible says, as priests, our assignment, among others, is there is a spiritual sacrifice. There is a dimension of God. It will take a heavy sacrifice to reveal. You must be built up into that house. It says to offer up. Some of you, that sacrifice is your body, to offer it up. Some of you, that sacrifice is your worship. Some of you, that sacrifice is your ambition. Some of you, that sacrifice is your destiny. Some of you, that sacrifice is your certificate. That you labored, went to school, you want to get a job, and God says, no, you will need to lay down that certificate. You must be built, otherwise your sacrifice cannot be acceptable. To offer up. You are lively stones. You are part of a building. Hear me, Koinonia. You are part of a building. You may be a first timer that that just strolled and said, wow, God, see these guys you are using. God is saying that you were here. You are also part of those stones. We have been looking for you. Where were you? We are supposed to be putting lintel now. But by now, you should have entered a dimension and you are just getting born again. Anyway, hurry up. Hurry up, because there is a space for you in that building. You have delayed the building because you refuse to get born again fast. When God is saying, let me use you, the devil is there wasting your time. And now you see that there is a space for you. How dare you look down on God's people and think it's just only one guy called of God? No, sir. No, sir. You may not look like it now. Every one of these people you see, you think that they are serving Joshua Selman. They are lively stones. There is a part in this building. I know we say it prophetically. All of us are contributors. We don't know what we are saying. It is true. There is something, if Ejimi does not release to this generation, God will appear and say, Ejimi, why? Look at, he will show you a vision of the woman dying. He will show you a vision of another family and said, all these were tied to your obedience. There are some of you ladies here, you don't want to marry, but God will look at you and say, you must marry. Say, Lord, I don't want. He said, then you are selfish, because there is a child from your womb who will anoint a child from another woman's womb who will be the one to take over the children. And that other child has been born, but your own womb is not just about having children. Listen, listen. You see why some people are barren? This is what Satan is stopping. Barrenness is not just a demon. No. Satan has already seen the program. From here, okay, Sam's child will give birth to this. Oh, Sam's child and Pastor Alpha's child. So they are the ones who will preach in that crusade. Okay, stop Pastor Alpha from having a child. So that the program, Satan does not stop everybody. He's selecting. He's not stupid. He's looking at people who will make a major stoppage. So some of you can just sit down and find out that you got born again. And when others get born again, they are happy. Miracle alert. But you got born again, and for 1 year is warfare. Satan is saying, this is a big blow to the kingdom. Why did Promise get born again? By now, you would have remained somewhere. Ha, what do we do to Promise now? Okay, let's make sure his wife is not born again. Or let's make sure she's barren. I told God something. I said, Lord, everything I represent to my generation, everything that was written about me, there are many other people, but there is a role, and I will play that role in life and death. Some of you here, listen to me. This thing tonight is a call by the Spirit. God is saying, look, son, daughter, because of you, something is not happening. There are songs that you guys are supposed to bring. You have been doing music training, wonderful. But sit down and say, Lord, what are the songs for this generation? What are the songs? Speak to me. Not just to teach people how to play keyboard and guitar. Sit down. What are the songs? What are the songs? Miriam wrote a song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Miriam wrote it. Today we sing it as a song of victory. We must write something that our children will read. Look at these little children. There is a heritage we must leave for them. That heritage is called a spiritual sacrifice. You will pray where you don't need to pray. You will fast where you shouldn't. It will pain you. But every time you want to give up, you will remember something was written about me. If Anna the prophetess did not pray, Jesus would not come home. Her assignment. How can a woman's assignment be to pray and fast for 60 years? I was born. Madam, what is your assignment? To pray for who? There's a young boy I always see in a vision. And God said, I called you to pray in the temple till he comes. Mary, what is your assignment on earth? A ghost told me I will give birth to a son. Is that all? How about madam, you are a smart lady. But that's what he told me. If Mary gave birth to any other child aside from Jesus, she would still not be featured in the program of God. Listen to me. In this season, not everything is important to God. You have to find out this present truth. What is God saying about my life? Why am I like this? Why the attacks?
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. All these sacrifices, Lord, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. For there is power in your name, name that is above all things, miracle. As we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see.
Listen, I think we should pray. Listen, I'm going to give you the next 10 minutes. We are going to pray. And the prayer, listen to me, the prayer is, Lord, yes to your will. Listen, many of us think the call is a call to be a preacher or a preacher's wife. That's foolish thinking. The call is, God is saying, is a relay. You have been delaying people. People are standing. Lord, yes to it. Yes to it. Lift your mouth. Open your mouth. Blast in tongues. And say, Lord, yes. 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 Yes to the prophecy that was written about me. Yes. Yes as a kingdom financier. Yes. Yes as an apostle of the Lamb. Yes. Yes, as a prophet to the nations. Yes, as a mother in Israel. Everybody pray. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. It is written of me, Joshua Selman. It is written of you. My parents may not have known it. My siblings may not have known it. But there is prophecy upon my life, relevant to the move of God within a generation, appointed to be a partaker of the marvelous life. Chosen, chosen, literally chosen and picked by the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you this. When you find what was written about you, you see, let me say this, look at me. Many of us here, you are going to find out things that were written about you that may not be major. Like Paul was teaching about, I think it was in 1 Corinthians 12, he was talking about 12, 13, 14. He was talking about the members of the body. Let me balance something here. Some of you are going to discover that the role you have to play in the kingdom may not be as vocal as being the president of a ministry or heading a ministry. And you will allow flesh, listen, please listen, everyone listen. You will allow flesh intimidate you
to mean just because God has called Joshua Selman to head a ministry. Let me tell you this. I want to show you a secret. I'm already touching my teachings of some months. I have a teaching that I'm going to bring here called the mystery of the veil. It's a revelation God showed me. The veil. Do you know why the bride in ancient times used a veil? Because everything glorious is covered. The more a thing is in hiding, the more the glory. That's why the Father hides in light. Listen, there is a relationship between glory and the veil. Are you seeing that now? So the parts of your body that we cannot see are the parts that make what we can see work. So if you find out that as part of the body you are occupying a position that is not visible, it's not a thing to cry. It means you carry a higher weight of glory. Listen. Yes. When Rebecca was brought to be a wife to Isaac, listen, this is a bride. On her way going, the moment she saw Isaac, she veiled herself. I'm a woman of glory. She veiled herself. So your heart, you may never see it. But let your heart stop working and all your hands. Do you know all the parts that take people to the hospital are parts they cannot see? You just see that the hand is no longer working. The leg is not working. You go and meet a doctor and say, "Doctor, what is wrong?" They say, this guy has diabetes. Just because of something going on inside. When you are sick, even if they rub something on your hand, it is the one you swallow that goes in that you cannot see, is the one responsible for your vitality. Listen, I just felt like ministering this. Some of us, our ministry is behind the veil. And because of that, you may feel very left out. There are many ladies you want to be in front. There are many guys you want to be in front. The greater honor is when you are hiding. Are you getting that now? Yes. The greater honor. Your blood vessels hiding. Your blood itself hiding. Yet that's what carries every other thing to your body. Are we together? But I can see the hand. I can see the mouth. So you would think the mouth is so important. Let the heart stop pumping, and that's when you will see. So there are some of you, God is going to call you to ministries that are behind the veil. You may be in Koinonia, you may be anywhere else, and you find out that just because I'm a member of the worship team, I'm not in ministry. Is them apostle? You are wrong. You are even the stronger part. Some of you are quietly in prayer band. 12 o'clock every night you pray for me, and you may never think it's a ministry. Stop praying for me and you will see the attacks on my life. That's when you will know that you are more glorious than even me holding the mic. Have you learned something tonight? Let me tell you this. It's a big secret I learned. If you want to be relevant to a generation, let a majority of your life be hidden. If all of you is seen by everybody, you are not strong. You are not powerful. No. All your revelation, all your rhema, all your finance, a greater part of your life should be hidden. Look at God. God hides in light. No man sees him. Jesus came on earth just 3 years and he left. But many of us are, "See me. I want to be no, the happening people are usually the ones that are not even the strongest. Believe me. The electricity that powers this, you cannot see it, but that is what is moving the fan. You are only seeing the fan, but there is the electricity. Some of you are like that. So in finding your place, let the devil not deceive some of you to just say, "Kai, I'm touched by this message. I must go and pioneer a ministry or pioneer this," and destroy yourself. Some of you may be in hiding. That you are a pastor or that you are marrying a pastor doesn't mean you must be a preacher. There is a difference between a pastor and a preacher. There is a difference between a pastor's wife and a preacher. That you can be a prophet or a prophetess, it doesn't mean you are a preacher. Anna the prophetess was an intercessor 60 years or 64 years. Abraham was a prophet. Moses was a prophet.
Father, show me my place in your program. Open my eyes to see it. Open your mouth and pray. Show me my place. Pray. Show me my place in your prophetic blueprint. In this season, show me. Show me my place.
Yes to your will. Yes to your ways. Oh, yes. I will obey. Yes to your will. Yes to your ways. Oh, yes. I will obey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We are going to pray and say, Father, what sacrifice must I make for this grace to speak in my generation? Some of you, the sacrifice is that you will not marry the person you want to marry. Some of you, the sacrifice is you will have only one child. That's the sacrifice. Some of you, the sacrifice is you will have seven children. You plan for two. But God will say seven, because the sixth child is the prophet. And so God will say, you can't stop. Some of you, the sacrifice is night prayers must continue till Jesus comes. Some of you, the sacrifice is you must be rich. You can't be poor. The sacrifice is your wealth. For some of you, the sacrifice is the anointing. You must stay till you find power. You must stay till you find power. You can't do ministry. No. You must stay till you find power. That's the sacrifice. For some of you, it's utterance. You must stay till the spirit of revelation enters you. Lord, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. I receive grace. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. I don't know what it will cost me, but oh God of heaven, I am ready.
I will go, I will go, everywhere you lead me, I will go, Lord, I will go, I will go, anywhere you lead me, I will go.
Pray, Koinonia.
I will go. I will go. Anywhere you lead me, I will go.
Listen, there are some of us, your assignment in life has to be to reveal the power of God. No matter how people criticize you, if you rob your generation of that dimension, then God will never be glorified. Are we together? Hear me. There are some of you, the family you came from, that you are not proud of. Oh, my father is an iron bender. My mother sells akara in the market. No, that spiritual gene was a combination needed for your destiny. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You may not know that akara seller that you are not proud of, and that man that you think is just maybe an iron bender, I'm not proud of him. Something came from two of them that is necessary for your grace. That background, if you came out from any other background aside from that, you will never believe what I'm telling you now. So God took you. Some of you are from families that there is no father, no mother. There is a reason for everything. Listen, when you bring the prophetic dimension of life, everything suddenly makes sense. I see why I'm the only boy in my family. I see why I'm the only lady. I see why God allowed all my siblings to grow, and then I later came as last born. If I was born in the same age range, they would never allow me to serve God. I now see the wisdom of God. That's why the Bible says my ways are higher than your ways. You may not know why it's happening. There are some of you, you would have graduated now, but you went and you saw an extra year, and God is saying stay. God may not have been the one that caused it, but he can use it for his glory. If you traveled, you probably would have married somebody now and giving birth to a man, not giving birth to that prophet. And it is in your staying. Remember, listen, it was so ordained that a woman would be the first to see Jesus at resurrection, because women are gates. But the Bible says all the other disciples came, and when they looked, they ran away out of fear. But a woman came. When she looked, she stayed there. It is her patience. She refused to go. As she stayed and stayed and stayed, suddenly she saw a man. You see that? The angels came. What is all this? There is power in waiting. Be careful. Breakthrough is not rush. Don't compare yourself with other people. You will be foolish. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but God is speaking to someone. Don't rush your life. Other people have cars. I must have car. Be prophetic in your approach to life. There is destiny upon your inside. There is a reason why Joseph had to be a carpenter to be the earthly father of Jesus. There is a reason why Mary had to be a virgin. It's not an insult on other women who are not virgins, but there was a reason. There was a reason why it was not just Mary's womb. Anywhere Jesus was kept had to be virgin. The donkey he would climb, the tomb he would stay. It was not about Mary. It's a principle. Because he had to be firstborn among the begotten. And the firstborn is the one who opens up things, anything. If anybody ever came out through the womb of Mary, Jesus could not be the firstborn. Are we together? This is my prayer all the time. I don't live a foolish life. I live a life that is prophetic. I have found where it has been written. When you find this, no matter who persecutes you, no matter what devil comes from where, you just look and say, you are entitled to your opinion that is a derivative of foolish perception that is not kingdom. But when you look at it here, you will now see. Some of you will now see why you have been in Zaria. Lord, why am I here? And God will not answer you. Just stay. That's the answer. Lord, let me also enjoy the common sense of living a useful life. And God says, just do what I'm telling you. Stay. Your staying too is an assignment. Sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to do every one of these things that you see, brothers and sisters. But when you know that you owe a generation a dimension of God, it constrains you. Some of you see a Jimmy here training people and helping people to be wealthy. There are people who can just look and say, this guy likes money. He's a burden. It's ministry. There is a generation that needs it. You see why we're particular and all these are doctors? Because we don't just want people who give people injection and prescribe drugs. If that's all you do with your life, then you are not very useful to the earth.
because there are many of you already. But when you find your place in life, there are people when we give birth to, we rejoice because of what happened. Listen, let me advise people here. If you are pregnant here or you have given birth, stay with God to name your child. Don't get up. These names we give children that are a product of carnality. Sometimes people are drinking beer and then somebody somewhere, you don't need to call anybody in the village to say, what is the name of my child? They can suggest. Stay with God and find out, what is the destiny of this child? Don't say, I've always liked James. What are you saying? We have destroyed the lives of people. Some of you are carrying names today that frustrated your destinies, like Jabez, because it was not from the bowels of the spirit that those names were given. Satan made sure that he changed your destiny by changing your name. Are we together? I may not advise you to go and change your name, but let me tell you sincerely, 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 names are spiritual. Names are spiritual. Saul in the New Testament, after the resurrection, still his name was changed to Paul. Why didn't they say former Saul? Paul, the apostle of the Lamb. Names are so important. The foundation of heaven is made with names. 12 names make up the foundation of heaven, not your house. So your name can serve as a foundation of your life. Nonsense, demonic names that have attracted trouble to people. The Bible says Jabez was angry. The mother named him in sorrow. The guy got up, an innocent person, trouble from the left and right. I told you about a gentleman who the mom cursed him. She gave him a name. She may not call him a name, but she told him that until rat stops stealing, he will never stop stealing. That's a name. A name is not, it's a system of identification. Gave him a name. That guy will come out of prison now. Just they will advise him, he will sit down, they will counsel him, 2 weeks he's back. Because a name. If God helps that guy and he encounters a true apostolic and prophetic ministry, and that embargo is lifted in his life, it's not, that's how he will remain. He will give birth to a child, the child will carry the name. When these things leave people, they don't leave the earth. They still wait for violators and come upon them. The leprosy of Naaman. It left Naaman, but he was still there. And Gehazi made himself through greed as a scapegoat. He came and said, calm down, please. My master just made up his mind. There's something. Can you give me? I said, oh, no. Why not? While he was giving, the leprosy was hearing, go to this man and his generation. And a prophet confirmed it. Look at how a stupid man enslaved his generation because of greed. Do you not know that the sacrifices that you make today is not just for you? It's not just for your children. Listen to me. It's not just for your children's children. When God say, young man, for the next 20 years of your life, make sure every night you are praying. Oh God, what is it for? When God is saying that he's looking at your 18-year-old son and an encounter that will need to come to that child, and he says, continue to pray it. It may not make sense, but continue. Some of our parents prayed non-stop for 25 years for some of you to be here. Is that true? They prayed every night. No matter how tired you are sleeping, you hear mama praying. Oh God, use my children. You are snoring away your destiny. Your mother prayed, some of them, they prayed till they died. That's the prayer. You hear. God is changing your name to start an order. Our generation shall praise your name. 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 Father, tonight, you have dealt with us in such a dimension that we are grateful. Lord, I know you are building us. There is something you are doing in us. We may look ordinary, but there is not only destiny upon our lives, there is prophecy. Something was written in the Bible that addresses us directly. And Lord, we vow a vow as a generation that we will not fail you. We vow. We will arise and fulfill our destiny. We will arise and recover all that was lost. Let us arise in mighty victory. We will arise. Yes, we'll arise. I will arise and fulfill the prophecy. I will arise and recover all that was lost. I will arise in mighty victory. I will arise. Yes, I'll arise. I will arise. Yes, I'll arise. We'll arise. There are friends God is asking some of us to leave, not because they are bad, but because they are an interruption to prophecy. You must let them go. There are relationships God is asking some of us to leave, not because they are bad, but they are an interruption to prophecy. Listen carefully, I'm rounding up. There are geographic locations God is speaking to for some of us, not because it's bad, but because it's an interruption to prophecy. Your priesthood demands that you make spiritual sacrifices. Listen to me. Some of you are crying. I see people crying. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of your tears. It is costly to carry the glory. It is costly to carry Shekinah. I can tell you this firsthand. I am a student in the school of sacrifice. I know what sacrifice is. Your time, your life, your energy. Yes. You are never, we're rounding up. I want you to listen to me, especially those of you outside. Anything valuable comes at a cost. My brother, my sister, listen to me. It will never be at a platter of gold. You will not carry a financial mantle at a platter of gold. No. You will not carry a true anointing for a generation, not for a service, not for a program, not for a convention. The mantle for a generation. No. Some of you, it will cost you your nutrition and your dieting. Yeah. You will fast till you fast your life out. But it's the sacrifice. For some of you, it will cost you. The cost will be loneliness. Because it's calling you to be a seer. You will not be a public figure. Sacrifice. For some of you, the call upon your life. Listen carefully. The prophetic call is not something that you just sit down prophesying names and numbers. There is a spiritual sacrifice. Let me tell you, I say it with all humility. This man you see standing has blood dripping from him, from the left and the right. This anointing you see doesn't just happen just because a man loves God. Don't just admire power until you see what is behind the veil. Are we together? You don't just talk and people are falling down like that. People are not idiots. This is not going to listen to a man's message. It's not just going to YouTube or getting messages and listening. And no. Sacrifice. Many preachers will tell you, listen, we're rounding up. Many preachers will tell you it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. This is a realm and a dimension I'm walking in. I can tell you how to get there. Take sacrifice. Your night will have to be turned to an altar if it's power you want. You will need to learn when to turn the plate upside down, even at your own sacrifice. If your belly is your God, you have prostituted away the opportunity for power. Hallelujah. You will hardly see me moving around on this. You think, listen, I'm a human being. I have a life. Sometimes I want to stroll around too, just like others, and go and be happy. Sometimes I want to move around too and enjoy life like others. But the call, or the prophecy, or the assignment. It's not because I'm a public figure, no. Sometimes I also want to go on vacation. Am I not a human being? Can't I honestly go on vacation and go and rest? It's the sacrifice. We are going to pray one last prayer, but I'm opening our eyes. Some of us have just been admiring anointing and ministry. I'm opening your eyes to see. Brothers and sisters, it's a sacrifice. I want to marry a man of God. I want to marry a man of God. It's a sacrifice. It's not just mama or anointing or whatever.
I surrender.
Sacrifice. That's the language of kings in this kingdom.
Whatever you ask of me, I surrender.
Turn it into a prayer and let's pray this song.
Whatever you want from me, whatever you ask of me, I surrender.
My reputation, my life, everything.
Whatever you want from me,
not my own. My certificate is not my own. My destiny is not my own. There is prophecy upon my life.
I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Whatever you ask of me, whatever you ask of me,
I surrender. From your heart, that's your prayer tonight.
Whatever you ask of me,
oh, he will ask things. My God will ask things. He will ask for your time. He will ask for your passion. Two more times.
Whatever you ask of me,
whatever
you ask of me, I surrender.
What do we have that was not given? For a man can receive nothing except it be given to him. You gave us life. You gave us destinies. Lord, tonight you have moved upon us, seeking to have more of us, that we occupy that position of priesthood in the spirit. And Lord, there is a demand upon us in this season that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Like an evening oblation, we lift it up. We cry that not only the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, but our sacrifices will rise like an incense to the heavens. That it will call for your mercy, that it will call for your power, that it will call for your presence. Build us, O God, like living stones to become a spiritual house in experience. Grant us access to the light apportioned for our generation, the dimensions of you by the spirit that we ought to know, that will be able to communicate spiritual realities in a higher dimension, a dimension higher than that of the saints of old. The Bible says, so that they without us, we are the perfection of your church. And so we cry as a bride longing for her husband. Even so, come. Maranatha, we call on the word. We call on that light. Come. Come to us. Come, revelation. Come, portals of the spirit. Come, vistas of heaven. Come. Let heaven be opened over us in unusual dimensions, even in this season. Lord, we truly want to be purposeful. We want to walk not just in our destinies, but upon the prophetic words revealed about us in scripture, literally revealed about us. Show us, O God, cause our eyes to see, and that our hearts come into a point of understanding that we will walk in the path of destiny. Any decision, O God, that we have made or are making that is out of sync with this prophecy, we cry for the spirit of repentance. Let there be a realignment. Let there be a repentance. Let there be a readjustment in the name of Jesus. Bring us to that point where we are accurate in the path of prophecy. Lord, once again we dedicate this house to you. Once again we dedicate everyone who is part of this ministry. The thousands of people here on ground, the thousands of others following, the millions who will access these teachings. Lord, that everyone who will hear this message, let there be a rumbling, let deep call unto deep. That years after today, may this message retain its freshness in the spirit. Let this message be a clarion call in the spirit. Let it be a shofar in the name of Jesus. Let it make a distinct sound in the spirit. And that everyone who is called by your name, apportioned to be relevant in your program in this season, that as they hear this message, let something within their spirit cry out. Let this message be an instrument of revival for nations. In the name of Jesus, preserve the anointing that came tonight upon these teachings. And let everyone who hears this teaching carry the same grace. We bless you. Use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to invite right now, please, everyone, just remain where you are. But I want to invite right now our precious brothers and sisters. You heard what I just said. There are people, it is in your destiny, and by the prophetic word upon your life, listen carefully, let's not be distracted. You are supposed to be saved by now. But for some reason, the devil has taken advantage of your life and swayed you away from the path of salvation. Tonight, listen to me. You are hearing the voice of the Spirit through my voice. I am only an echo of the voice of the Spirit. Whether you are in the main auditorium, overflow 1, overflow 2, overflow 3, by the roadside, and online from any nation you're connected to, the Lord is speaking to you tonight and saying that it is important that you come and hand over your life to Jesus. For a few of you, you have at one point or the other committed your life to Jesus. But the truth is that your life, things went haywire, you were discouraged, you were disappointed in God, and you found out that you just left the things of God. But hearing the message that I've preached tonight by the Spirit, you heard the Spirit of God talking to you, and He's telling you, come, I'm calling you afresh, and I'm calling you again. If you belong to these two categories, Overflow 1 and Overflow 2, I want you to come in and stand here. Overflow 1, you can go to the front of your projector screen. Main auditorium and Overflow 2, you can come here. Overflow 3, you can walk right outside. Or let's just do 1 and 2. 1 and 2 and main auditorium, you can join us. And then Overflow 3, I want you to walk to your projector stand. For those following online, the Bible says ye must be born again. Don't be selfish with your life. There are many people, even in your unbelieving state, you have had dreams and visions where you know God is calling you. Apostle, I've lived my life anyhow. Can God hear me? My goodness. It is the kind of you that He needs. You are welcome. I'm counting 1 to 5. Let the Spirit of God convict you. Leave your seat very quickly. Come, come my brother, come my sister. For you're standing here only because you keep coming. You move your mountains, you cause walls to fall, and with His power, keep coming. You perform miracles. There is nothing. Don't let anyone discourage you. Come to Jesus.
And we're standing here only because you made.
He's made a way.
Made a way.
I believe there are still some more people. Quickly come. Apostle, mine is bad friends. I'm not sure of my salvation, but I have bad friends. Can God accept me? You're welcome. Come. Apostle, I've destroyed my life with all kinds of things, from drugs to whatever, but I need Jesus tonight. You are welcome. Most welcome by the Spirit. Come. 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 Let's appreciate them. They are coming. The Lord is bringing them. Don't sit back there when you know you should be here. Apostle, I've not done anything bad, but I've just never truly been serious with God. Join them. Join them. I know that the call of God is upon my life, but I'm not sure the way I'm walking now, I will ever find Him. Join them. Join them. And we're standing here only because, and I'm standing here only because, and I lift my hands only because
you made a way.
I will pray this prayer, it's only because
you made a way.
Listen to me, brothers and sisters, look up. We're not acting drama here. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. I don't care what has happened in your life. I only want you to mean it from your heart. There's a strong presence of God here. Please, don't stand here and just joke. Some of you are ashamed of your friends. Some of them didn't come here. They are waiting somewhere to laugh at you and say, Mother Mary, Sister Teresa, may God take those people out of your life in the name of Jesus, because they are distractions. Like one who is looking for water, the worship team cried about the living water. Say after me, Lord Jesus. Please say it. Some of you are not saying it. Say, Lord Jesus, I cry to you to help me. Help this mama, please. Help this woman. I ask for your mercy and your salvation to speak over my life. Tonight, I have heard your word and I come to you. Take my life. Take my destiny. let it be yours from today. I hand over, my goodness, I hand over, say it, my life to you. I receive salvation, the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, and I declare that I reign in life. Satan, your power is broken over my life forever. I declare that I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm saved. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I declare by the authority that is in your name that their sins are forgiven. I decree and declare that from today, a new beginning starts for them. The power of sin, Satan, the flesh is broken over your life. In the name of Jesus, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I call you the righteousness of God. I call you saints in light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that the grace to walk in victory be released upon you from tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for making this great decision. Now, I want you to follow this gentleman. He's waving his hands, all of you together in concert. Just follow this gentleman, and there will be a group of people to just appreciate you and talk with you. Let's honor them very quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_KNI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the corners of God's life on earth.